Evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm going to be continuing tonight with my last part of what I've been talking about. So tonight we'll be covering the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. It's taken from same scripture, strangely enough. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 17, where it says these words, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So this is the two final parts of our kit. The helmet and the sword. Now, if you were thinking of all what I've mentioned previously, you'd be thinking all the other items seem to be items of defense. And with these last two items, you might still say, well, one is really defense and one is really attack. More of a tactical and weapon. So I'm going to first look at them in the physical terms. A helmet can be described as an object which is for protection of the head. Quite simple, really. Generally made of a hard material. And in the terms of how it's speaking here, as to a soldier of this period, it would probably, if it were a well-standing soldier, be of metal. And particularly if it was a high-ranking soldier, it would probably give full coverage, meaning as well as the helmet on the actual head, it would cover the front of the face as well, leaving just holes for him to see through and breathe out of. So probably a good thing to have as a piece of defensive equipment. On the other hand, a sword would be or give a soldier a more tactical advantage, a means of attack, a weapon to overcome the enemy with. If a soldier was just sent out with means of defense and no means of attack, he may not last long on the battleground. So So you could say, without the sword, the battle would not be won. The first question for you tonight, when you think about these two items, is this how you would translate them? Is this how you would think of the helmet and the sword? One thing that struck me when reading this scripture is the two things were put in one verse. They could have quite easily been separated, and that would probably quite easily make it easy to describe them as separate items. But in this scripture, it's clearly put in one verse. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why do you think these two items were put together? Is there some significance in it being in one verse? Think about that for a while. Speaking in scriptural terms and not in physical terms, to me, the helmet of salvation is putting on Jesus in its entirety, in his entirety. After all, it is through Jesus we have salvation. Without which we are laid bare. I said earlier the physical description of the helmet would be a helmet giving total coverage. Is this how we should see the spiritual description of the helmet? Total coverage. A helmet of total strength. Our Lord gave it his all for our salvation. To me, in taking up this helmet, what a great honour, a privilege. Can we take up that helmet of salvation and claim the total coverage of our Lord? Looking at the sword of the Spirit, not in the physical terms, but in spiritual terms, how do we see this? The sword of the Spirit is the very Word of God. Now that's something hard to imagine. Something which never fails. but always prevails. The strongest thing you could ever know, but never fully understand. The most powerful word, the word of God. In John 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning there was the Word. It was the start. It was the beginning. It's something now which we have the opportunity to grasp. To grasp in our daily lives. To put at the forefront in our daily lives. In our daily battle. Right throughout Scripture. We read about many great prophets. And in those chapters we read, and the Word of God came to. Time and time again, in those hours of need, we read, and the Word of God came to. In Luke 1, verses 37, it tells us how indestructible this weapon is. For no word from God will ever fail. Over centuries and centuries, man has developed many different kinds of weapons. And then the enemies of whoever's developed the weapons have made counter-weapons to destroy those weapons. What's the difference with the sword of the Spirit? For no word from God will ever fail. That is the difference. That is the power. That is the Word of God. So as you've been thinking now, what would you say? Would you say that these two items are separate? Or would you say that they're very much together? They might seem completely opposite ends of the spectrum, one being defensive and one being for the attack purposes. But I think they're quite very much so joint. Perhaps in a way beyond our understanding and beyond our comprehension. But our Lord's salvation and word, I think, come as a package. And I think it draws everything what I've been talking about as taking upon your kit, as taking upon these things mentioned in these verses of Ephesians. Which are physically described as for you to wear, as for you to place around you, for you to, in some ways, adorn your body with. To be fitted out with, to be kitted out with. To have in readiness. For protection. And for attack. If you remember when I first started talking about the kit bag. And what held it together? Can anyone remember what held it together? Our prayers, our prayer life. We think of this kit laid before us now. We think of all these items which are laid before us now. Are you willing to take them on? Are you willing to place them around you? Are you willing to take the challenge from day to day, from moment to moment? God's army is very real. And is really needed. You are a part, a vital part, an essential part of this army. But there's something critical here that we have to decide now. We have to decide on a daily basis. You have a choice now. You know of what's laid out in front of you. You know the purpose of everything that is there. It's your choice to now rise and serve. Or you could just sit back and hope it will be a nice day. Now, I've recently got a very addictive game on my phone. And it's called the Game of War. Which doesn't sound really good for a Christian to play, like, but it's really quite addictive. But in this game of war, you have a hero. And that hero you have to equip. And that hero you have to equip with different kinds of armour. And by equipping it with different kinds of armour, it raises the statistics of that hero. It builds him stronger. which changes the characteristics of the army that you were in control of. The strange thing within that game is you have the option or not to put the armor on the hero. If you don't put the armor on, quite quickly your city will become attacked. Quite quickly, the hero will become overthrown. Within that game, there's many, many little cities, and lots of them are laid desolate. Lots of them, the hero is nowhere to be seen. They made the choice that, well, it might be a nice day tomorrow. We'll just sit back and wait. Or you could have taken the choice to ready yourself. To take the vital pieces of kit. To take that helmet, to take that breastplate, to take that shield, to take that sword, to have that belt. To see all that kit laid before you. And to remember it's all connected with prayer. There is a choice for you to make now. You can take that kit. Or you can just sit back and hope it'll be a nice day. Amen.